Well, it's when truth becomes the truth that it's the most scary of all, I think. I want to tell you a story of what happened to me when I was at school about 30 years ago. You know, I'm a Jewish educator, and parents often come up to me and say, how can I ensure that my children have meaningful Jewish experiences? Isn't that a silly question? I mean, when do we ever know when an experience is going to be meaningful? We try to make it meaningful and relevant, but we never know. I know that my most meaningful Jewish experience happened when I was learning Italian. My parents were going overseas and had promised my sister and I a trip to Italy to get finished, whatever that meant. My parents were not particularly identified Jews. They believed in a homogenous society and passing for white. When other girls were getting their hair done because it was time for their bat mitzvah, I was just getting my hair done. And to my mother, getting your hair done does have religious significance. So I learned Italian the easy way, lesson one. I still remember it. Mi scusi, signora, dove le fichio postale? È il numero 8. Oh, grazie, signora. Prego. Arrivederla, signora. Arrivederla. But I never got past lesson one the easy way, because by the time I got to lesson two, my parents had changed their mind and decided it would be better for all concerned if my sister and I went to Askim and boarded the school that we went to. Now, Askim in those days was considered non-denominational, which in those days meant that you could be any kind of Christian you liked. Because when you kneel and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ every morning, it doesn't leave that much room for other denominations. Well, on the first night when I was at Askim, the headmistress, Miss Roberts, invited my sister and I to head table so that we could eat with the priestess of decorum and etiquette. I think I would have rather eaten in a well-used outhouse, but there was no escape. So I sat down with Miss Roberts and we were served our food, which was chops in gravy, which I quickly learned you had to extricate from the pan right away, because as soon as it got cold at all, there was no getting it out. Mashed potatoes, tinned peas, and a strip of meat that I recognized as bacon. Now, even though my parents were not particularly identified, pig meat was one of the last vestiges of faith that they upheld, and I'd never eaten bacon. But still, faced with the wrath of Miss Roberts, I wasn't going to play around. So I just put the meat on my fork and stuffed it in my mouth. Now, never having had bacon before, I was not aware of the properties of bacon. And I didn't know that the rind is virtually unchewable. I chewed that piece of meat for I don't know how long. I was not getting anywhere. I just masticated and masticated. And finally, I made a decision. I swallowed. It was a mistake. Because even though I got some of it down my throat, some of it stayed up in my mouth, rendering me utterly incapable of breathing. And I raised the highly starched white napkin to my mouth and I thought to myself, this really is the perfect Askim death. No fuss, elegant, refined, really. But then just as I was losing consciousness, I made one last valiant attempt and I stuck my fingers down my throat and I pulled out that rind and I flung it down on the table and there it lay viscously grinning at me. And I took this experience to mean two things. First of all, I shouldn't take the Jewish stuff so lightly. Secondly, if I'm going to survive in this place, it's going to be a fight. Now, it's not as if I took the Jewish stuff that lightly. My parents had friends who were Holocaust survivors, and every time I saw the numbers tattooed on their arms, I was filled with a horror and a shame. Whenever they yelled at their daughter, I always put it down to the fact that they had been there. Whenever they laughed, I marveled that they could. I was always particularly polite to these friends. Now, being a singer, I was always in the choir at Askim, and I sang Christmas carols in church, but I never sang all the words. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, for none was born on Christmas Day. The choir mistress thought that I just had very bad diction, but actually, it was my way of supporting those friends of my parents, that if they had to suffer for being Jewish like that, the least I could do is not sing all the words. But church took on a whole new, different perspective when I was a boarder at Askim. Why did I have to go to church? Because Askim was non-denominational. And I went there every Sunday morning at 6 o'clock, and it was the first time in my life I wanted to be recognized as a Jew. I sat in church and I was livid. And when they knelt, there was no way I was going to kneel. when they passed the plate round, I wasn't going to be putting money in it. Between you and me, I took a little out occasionally. But it was during silent prayer that my inspiration reached its glory. I had this overwhelming urge to say the Shema loudly. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And then again, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And then my housemistress came up along the pews and tapped me painfully in the back and she said, "This is silent prayer." And I turned around, I looked her straight in the eyes and I said, "Jews pray silently, aloud." You know, there was a moment there where I could see a flash across her eyes where she thought, maybe Jews do pray. One of my favorite memories. Anyway, you can imagine, it was not the end of it. I was called before Miss Roberts and those in power and expected to explain myself. And I kept on saying, "I am Jewish. I am Jewish. I am Jewish." I was like a spy. They could torture me all they liked. They'd only get my name, rank, religion. Well, you know, after that, I was exempt from church. And it was a glorious victory, not just for me, but for all of us who wish to pray in our own place, in our own time, in our own way. So when people ask me now how they can ensure their children have meaningful Jewish experiences, I don't know. Church worked for me. I have a confession to make. I've been studying the Gospels with my Christian friends, Jew and Christian. We read over the Gospels together, and together we try to find a place of comfort and understanding. And why is it that we can do that? I think it's because we keep in mind the next story.